A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Now, Sweden has been hailed as the world's first smoke-free country, but Irishman Philip O'Connor, who's living there, says there's more to this than meets the eye, and Philip joins me on the line. Good morning to you, Philip.
Good morning, Gareth.
How is Sweden this morning?
God, it's beautiful. I'm about 2 hours outside of Stockholm at the moment and the sun is shining. I'm out in the countryside here and it's absolutely beautiful and very much smoke-free where I am, unlike it can be downtown.
And just before we talk about smoke-free, are you all still celebrating winning the Eurovision?
It's still going on. Like, and it was amazing to see the Johnny Logan and everything else like that. And the Swedes were absolutely delighted to finally catch up to Ireland and that. But we'll have to make a comeback next year. I think we'll have to get Johnny and Shay Healy and Dustin and Jedward and everybody to get their heads together. We can't have them overtaking us, Gareth. I just wouldn't be able to live here anymore if that happens.
In fairness, though, you've a lot of catching up to do, haven't you, in terms of wins?
Exactly. When it comes to that, we definitely do all right.
Now, let's talk about smoke-free. Sweden is now a completely smoke-free country, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. They've had a goal for a long time, Gareth, of being smoke-free by 2025. And a statistic came out the other day, and they're pretty much sort of claiming victory, much like they did in the Eurovision before the thing even got underway. And they're saying that now, because of the fact that there's less than 5% of daily smokers in the country now, that they've kind of achieved that. But when I was speaking to you yesterday, to the people from the show yesterday, I was saying, that's not really the full truth, because even though there's not that many people smoking, there's still an awful lot of people using nicotine in different forms.
Mm-hmm. Is this a thing I've heard about? It's an oral tobacco called snus, is it?
Snus, that's the one, right? So back in the day, S-N-U-S, yeah, right. That's how it's spelled. Okay. And back in the day, it was basically like a wet chewing tobacco, right? So you get a package that looks like a hockey puck, an ice hockey puck, and it would be really, really moist tobacco, like the kind that you'd find in cigarettes, but slightly different, very dark. And what you do then is you get it between the first two fingers in your hand and your thumb, and you do what the Swedes call baking it, right? So you'd make this little plug and you'd pop it up under your top lip, right? Just there somewhere. Do you know where your sort of where your nose ends? Just under your top lip there, kind of thing. And you'd leave it there, and it's kind of like chewing tobaccos exist in America for a long time and various different oral tobaccos. And of course, we had snuff in Ireland. I don't even know if it still exists, you know, that people would inhale. So this stuff is what was used then. And that underwent a sort of a transformation in the last 20 years, right? Because if you were doing this, baking this thing with your fingers, right, you're going to get a smell off it. Obviously, you're going to get the juice from the tobacco on it. So the manufacturers came up with the idea of making it into little bags, right? And basically, they're like little tea bags, Gareth. And they're there. There's no great sort of work to be put into it. You just pop it in there. And they have become extremely popular. And I was reading a statistic this morning before speaking to you where up to around about 20% of people are using that. So what's happened is people have gone from smoking cigarettes and all that goes with that for the lungs, etc., etc., and they've sort of, you know, gone on from that then to snus. But the problem is that snus isn't free of danger either, and there's all sorts of oral cancers and stomach cancers and everything that have been linked to that. So I'm not sure they're quite out of the woods yet when it comes to being nicotine free.
I remember with the tobacco chewing thing in America, one of the big side effects was stomach cancer and also in like bowel cancer and that. What does it taste like?
To be honest, I've never tried it, right? I'll tell you a story, Gareth. I was in Greece in 1991, many, many years ago, and that was the first time that I encountered it. I met Swedish holidaymakers, and they said, oh, do you want to try this? Like, you know, and I looked at it, and just the smell of it put me off straight away. And then the fella showed me, now this is when they still baked it between their fingers, and it was the loose, wet tobacco, right? And what the snooze had done with this young man, he wasn't much older than me. I was only about 21, 22 at the time. He wasn't, but the snooze had burned a hole through his gum, sort of up around the top of his gum where he'd usually park this thing. And you can tell, a lot of athletes use it as well, people who play Olympic handball and soccer and that kind of thing, and you can tell because of the bulge that they're using this stuff, where it actually burned a hole through the, sort of the bone in this man's skull. And as soon as I saw that, Gareth, I went, right, that's not for me. And the other thing is that snooze users, that loose tobacco can be quite strong, and often the first time you use it, it can make you sick, you know, it's very, very strong effect, and it can make you sick. So I kind of didn't fancy that. So unfortunately, I can't tell you how it tastes. But what I can tell you is that there's a wide variety of tastes out there now. All sorts of mint variants, and there's sweet variants, and there's different, you know, kind of like wine. You know, the way wine connoisseurs will tell you, oh, you know, it has tones of this or hints of that. And it's very much become that sort of product.
I think there's a snooze product, kind of a snooze-like product called Skoal Bandits. I don't know whether you've ever heard of it, Philip.
I have indeed, and that was an old one, and it was very much like, what actually happened with that? I think it's actually banned around Europe now, because they tried to sort of import that. And the other thing is that snooze for a long time has been used as a way to get people off smoking. So people who were smokers, they go, okay, you can still have the nicotine, but you won't be smoking, so your lungs will be grand, kind of thing, you know? But the Skoal Bandits thing became a very big thing there. How long ago was that? Must be 20 years or more ago
that
came onto the market.
Yeah. I'd say 20
years. And that was always... Yeah, that was always the risk, I think, that the EU didn't want to be sort of, you know, promoting tobacco products or that kind of thing. And obviously the Swedish manufacturers of these things would be delighted to do it. But one of the places it's turned up, Gareth, which is amazing, I work a lot with sports journalism, and it's huge among fellas who play football in the Premier League, right?
No,
so
really?
If you get Roy Keane on, the next time Roy Keane is in Cork, grab him and bring him into the studio there and ask him about the use of snooze. Some clubs have banned it. Some clubs have banned the throwing of it in trash cans in the locker room and that kind of thing because the smell of it. Now, it's not the worst smell in the world, but these little pouches, these little tea bag like things can get everywhere. So it's an absolutely huge thing. But the problem that the Premier League players have is that it's not sold in England. So if ever I'm on, you know, social media, on Instagram or whatever, and I say, oh, I'm off to England, I'll often get a footballer that I know over there who drops me a little message saying, oh, is there any chance you could bring some of that snooze over to me?
Oh, I didn't realise that it had gone to that level of sport. Premiership League footballers.
Yeah, well, this is the thing that, like, it's one of those things that it doesn't really negatively affect performance, right? If you smoke, there's probably plenty of footballers when you and I were growing up that would have smoked on the side or on the sly. Mm-hmm. And even in the 90s, there was one or two, I think, you know, we can't name any names, you never know. But they would enjoy the odd cigarette here and there. But obviously, in the modern world, when everything is so well measured and that, you can't do that. But the snooze, apparently, it actually has a little bit of a stimulating effect rather than any sort of depressive effect. If you were smoking 20 fags a day and running around, you wouldn't last long in the Premier League at the moment. So I think that's why. And obviously they're so limited in what they can eat and what they can put into their bodies and that kind of thing, that the one little thing that they do find, that they're going to use that instead.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow, so effectively your lungs remain reasonably healthy, but your jaws begin to fall apart.
Exactly. Your head starts to fall apart and your stomach isn't in the best state either.
Wow, what a pastime. I don't know whether you've heard this. There's a push to ban the purchase of cigarettes for under 21s here in Ireland. What do you think of that? Like, is it fair or is it a nanny state behaviour?
Do you know what? I smoked myself when I was younger, and the best thing I ever did was give them up, Gareth. And it, like, it extended, you know, we have Gaelic football over here, we have soccer over here, and I was still playing even last season. I'm 51 years of age now, and I don't think I would have been able to do that with smoking if I was still smoking. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever. What I would say is that I think banning things and just getting rid of it, I don't think that's going to work, right? Because, you know, A, you'll create an illegal market for it. Like, over here, they used to tax cigarettes here. I think the first time I came here in 1996, a pack of cigarettes around about that time was maybe £8 or £10, right? Yeah. It probably doesn't sound like a lot at the moment, but that was enough. That was like, you get 4 pints for the same money in Dublin, you know? But what I do think, and what I think the Swedes have depended on in terms of getting their daily smokers down to below 5%, is education, right? Yeah. It's, you know, when you get into schools early and that kind of thing. Now, I don't think the pictures, you know, these pictures of blackened lungs and everything on the cigarette packets, I don't think they make any difference either. It's actually getting kids before they start to smoke and saying, look at this isn't cool. It's not going to give you what you think it's going to give you. It's going to leave you with an addiction. It's going to take all your money. So you're probably better off not starting. And I think there, and you know, I also think, Gareth, that, you know, young people today don't drink as much as we did when we were younger either. Mm. So I think it's actually an easy sell to young people. It's more difficult for elves like ourselves maybe to stop. That's a whole different question. But then banning us is not going to, that's not going to stop it either. We'll just go, we'll get the duty free. We'll find some way of doing it. And as we've seen with the prices going up and up, and people would rather sacrifice something else than the packet of fags. So I think rather than coming with the heavy hand of the state, as you mentioned there, I think we have to be gentle and put our arms around the shoulders of smokers and say, lads, what can we do to help you to give up?
Yeah, that's true. And we're of a generation, I think. Not that we're old, we're more elderly wise. Is that the way to describe it?
I would describe us as experienced now, guys.
Through bad experience comes good experience.
Exactly, mostly bad.
Do you know, it's funny, can I just say, like you said there, you know, we're of a generation where everything comes down for a lot of people here in Ireland and Irish people abroad. We compare everything against the price of the pint. A friend of mine said to me the other day, he says, isn't it absolutely shocking? He says, now I know the price of bread's coming down again, but he says, I went in there to my supermarket the other day and the price of a large sliced pan is now the price of a pint. And I said, so what are you going to do? He says, oh, he says, if it comes down to it, I'm going to give up eating bread.
It's that simple. Beer for breakfast. That's a whole other new lifestyle we're talking about right there.
Wash your teeth. Can I just, what's it like living in Sweden? I've always been curious, but before you answer, I think we might make you our official spokesperson for when you host the Eurovision next year. How do you feel about that?
I would be more than happy to do it, but only on the proviso that every other country votes for Ireland, and indeed that the songwriter's from Cork. Johnny Logan has done great things for us, right? But now we need a Cork song. We need, you know, John Spillane or somebody to come and to give us an L song for that. No, but it's, yeah. It's a great place, Gareth. It's a really well-organized society. I often say that if you were to put Sweden and Ireland together, you'd have the best country in the world because you'd have the Irish personality and the crack and the sense of community here. That's one thing that's, you know, people can be a little bit offside here. You know, they may not be some of the people who pass by your house and knock on your door and that kind of thing, whereas of course you'll do that in Cork and around Ireland, you know. Yeah. But it is, it's a fantastically well-organized society and, you know, we can learn a lot. But as I say, they could learn a lot from us. Their National Day is coming up now on June 6th and somebody's going to call me from some radio show now soon enough and say, okay, you managed to celebrate St. Patrick's Day all over the world and we can't even celebrate Sweden's National Day here, you know, so there's a few things they can learn from us as well, you know?
Okay. And your ambition is to meet ABBA.
Oh God, I've already done that. I'll tell you the story about Bjorn some other day. Myself and Bjorn are great mates already.
Wow, well, we'll follow that one up. Philip, great to talk to you. And by the way, John Spillane, as you speak, is penning the song, so who knows, you never know. That's what I hear.
I look forward to introducing him in the Globe in Stockholm next year. It'll be the proudest moment of my life in Sweden.
You're a great man. Thanks, Philip. Have a great weekend.
And you too, Gareth. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Take care. That's Philip O'Connor, Irish man in Sweden. There's a book in that, that's for sure.
Cork's 96 FM.